we podcasting?
I think we are.
Are we podcasting?
To get this mom box.
Yeah, get the mom box together. Thanks for coming and listening to the hashtag I Mom So Hard podcast. I don't know how you would accidentally find yourself here, but if you did.
Because you're lucky as a motherfucker.
Hey, go ahead and rate and review and subscribe.
Yeah, do all that stuff.
You can also see us on YouTube. We do this video version. Good for you.
I've heard it called a VOD. Podcast?
Somebody started using that word, and we also tried to use it as though we knew what they were talking about. They kept calling it like a VOD, and we were like, the VOD.
Oh my gosh, this Belgian beer.
It's delicious.
It's sweet and delicious.
It's sweet and delicious. Wow. I'm really having, I am one of those weirdos who I do like having like beer tastings and wine tastings and like dabbling instead of it. I don't know.
Do like a little flight.
Yeah.
We got to go. There's this really great, I told Colin he would love it, but there's this great German restaurant in where we used to live in Venice when Kristen and I first met.
Oof.
And we were neighbors. Hop, skip, and a jump from where we lived. There's this great German restaurant that has schnitzel. She's not going to have it because she doesn't like delicious things. But they have got so many different German beers.
Steins.
Oh, you can get a whole glass boot full of beer.
Done.
Yeah.
That sounds like heaven.
There.
That is heaven. And I don't want to brag, but if I go into a German bar and everybody's over 70, I'm a 10.
Okay. Yeah. Plus,
I like walk through and like I'm slow motion walking.
You know what I see? Professional partiers.
Professional. Yeah. You can tell by the rosacea.
That's right. Nobody.
the red nose isn't
the
broken.
The bulbous nose isn't. Yeah.
The starting at 2 p.m.
As you get older, you get them, but I'm like, oh my God, are these capillaries?
I'm like a roadmap, man. They said like, you'll get a broken capillary when you turn 30. It was 30 and I was like, I got one. It's like, I'm literally like, I'm whatever the chart is that comes out of a book. It's me.
I had one when I was a kid because I blew my nose too hard.
I've got another thing from that, but that's different. Don't worry about it.
What? I can't.
Just gonna put this out there.
Okay.
I'm
interested.
I want to talk about funerals, which I know can make some people uncomfortable. Maybe you just experienced a loss and that's like a lot for you. So maybe you want to flag this episode and come back to it later. Certainly we're not trying to make it too sad, but.
Or maybe you're really Catholic and it's like your wheelhouse.
This is the thing you turn up and you're like, let her rock.
Finally a social environment where I thrive and I know everybody.
100%. But I've had a really interesting experience this week because my daughter, Eleanor, one of her classmates, his dad passed away. It's so incredibly sad. And she's only a fifth grader and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Nobody should have to say goodbye to a parent when they're that young. That's just the nuts and bolts of things being completely fucking unfair.
It's honestly my biggest fear because I'm not like, oh, I do want to live to be like 120. I'm one of those weirdos. But more than anything, I'm like, I don't want my kids to have that sadness of missing one of us, you know?
And if you have lived on planet Earth, you have experienced grief and grief is tough. And and so when she told me that her friend's dad had passed away, I was like, all right, we're stepping into Midwest gear. We're taking them a meal. And so now I love it because there's a lot of ways to make that really easy. They can do like a meal train like app, of course. And
was supposed to sign up for, you just reminded me.
I know, you got to get on the meal train.
Crappers.
But I tried to explain to Eleanor, I was like, when someone passes away, the tradition that we have in our family, and not just because we're Catholic, but I think because we're Midwest, is you take food. And I wanted her to learn that because her big questions were like, well, what do I say? And I had a moment to think about that. And I was like, you know, saying something is always the hardest thing because you never want to say the wrong thing. You never should be someone who thinks you're saying the right thing because I can promise it's the wrong thing. And you should just know that like the most important thing is that they see that you're there and that they see that they love you and everybody's got to eat. So, you know, my grandmother was very good about dealing with people who were going through grief. She just had that magical quality to her that was like, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring over some food. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to say very little. You know that I'm here. Here's a meal. And my mom is very good at it too. So I was like, this is important that Eleanor knows.
Catholics. Really where they thrive is in that space.
We really do. And I don't know how you guys funeral, but if it's not the saddest event ever in terms of if it's not a young one or something tragic, a funeral is sometimes literally a good time. Like everybody's sure. starting to loosen up and like
you have a potluck afterwards.
Oh my God, the food yeah. at a funeral. My Aunt Mary Lou passed away and she was the biggest partier I've ever met. And she's the one that like, when you went to a funeral, you didn't know if you were at a funeral or maybe a new pub was opening. Either way, you were having a good time. But at her own funeral, they ran out of fried chicken and I thought there was going to be a brawl. Like yeah. I've never seen grown men go after the last breast that was, and it wasn't even a woman's, it was a chicken's.
Sure. Sure.
And they were like, and there's like funeral potatoes and there's all, and all everybody sits stuff. Around and kind of commiserates. And I wanted Eleanor to see, and I, and we did that with Finn. He had a teacher that died of COVID while we were in COVID, but we were restricted. So we yeah. weren't able to do the things that we would normally do. And I just wanted her to see what our people do when people
it's so good.
Loss.
I think it's great to teach them young yeah. because I didn't, growing up, I didn't have that many people pass away just because we have such a small family.
Yeah.
And like on my dad's side, my grandfather was passed before I was born. And then I was really young when my grandmother passed.
Yeah.
So I just didn't like.
And your grandparents that are
on my mom's side, they just passed.
They
not that
lived
long
to
ago.
Be like 140.
Yeah. yeah. Well, my grandpa was like, it was like 20 years ago, but my grandma was, I yeah, think, like, I want to say like 8 years ago or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, she was in her 90s.
She was in her 90s, yeah. So like I didn't have that experience, and I have learned since I was in my 20s, because I remember going to like funerals of people who like died really young. There being these women at funerals
yeah.
who just know what they're doing. And
it's,
by know
they're
what
they're in their element.
What I mean is in the most like complimentary way.
Yeah.
They don't shy away from grief. They are there shaking hands and hugging the people they haven't seen in a long time. They're like commenting on how tall everybody has gotten, who yeah. just had a baby. They're like,
they're the
making,
MC.
They're making like grief a part of life.
Especially they're, at the funeral, which can be,
you don't know what to do or say.
You don't know
say.
What to do. And if, you know, you don't know what, it's an uncomfortable thing. And I think there's like, you're unsteady, especially in your younger years when you just, you, I think there's like, we don't want to see the person that we're there to support cry, which is like a weird thing, right? Like we're like,
yeah.
I don't want to see them in pain. I don't want, but this thing is painful and this thing is a moment.
I think you want them to feel like you're a safe place to cry. Like, I think it's okay to go over to somebody's house who's mourning crying already
yeah.
so that they can see that it's, we're just going to hug and maybe yeah. you're going to start crying too. And it's because
meanwhile, I'm like out putting their chains on their tires. Yeah. I'm like, I scoop the walk the dogs.
I repainted your fence.
Yeah. I've done just, your laundry. I just,
all they want is all you need, or the only thing you can really do that helps somebody is to see their pain because yeah. that honors what they've lost.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
It honors the person that they're grieving.
Absolutely.
Did you feel like when your dad passed, there was anything that a person said that felt like the right thing? Or did you feel like it was just people showing up that was the right thing? Because I know that there were some things that your kids said that were,
oh yeah.
Kids do not care.
They don't understand.
They don't understand. So they have no filter.
So they're, you know, you will be like in the McDonald's drive-thru or something. And they're like, hey mom, can I have a nugget Happy Meal? And do you care that grandpa died? So, it's just
it's
like
so dark.
Wrenching. Do you think he loved you? Did he know that you loved him?
Can I get some extra sauce? And is there a toy?
Yeah, we'll get a Sprite with that.
Yeah.
Pull over here. They don't get it. But I actually think it's good because, Dashiell, a couple nights ago, so we have a friend who their child was just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah,
it was a very scary moment. It was a big deal. And so both the kids had a lot of questions. And in my house, I go, number one thing, your candy is up.
It's gone.
You're not going to eat candy in
They're
front
like,
of...
They're like, well, it's not me that has it.
I know, but you're not going to eat in front of somebody who can't eat
Can
candy.
Imagine?
In front.
Let me take a...
What
candy.
Pure torture, right? I was like, you're going to...
a pixie stick.
I was... And the kid is young enough to like
She's
not
young.
Really understand that she shouldn't...
Yeah, man, that's
like,
a
just
big...
Just if nobody knows, it's okay.
Big...
So much responsibility.
Alt.
And Dashiell asked me, he goes, well, like, what can she? Can she never eat candy again? I go, Dash, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what it's like for her. You can ask her. And he goes, oh, I don't want to do that. And I go, why? He goes, because I think, you know, it might be a hard topic for her. And I'm like, yeah, it's a hard topic for her, but you asking questions shows that you care.
Yeah, you care about her.
And that you want to learn about it. It helps people to heal,
yeah,
to like say these things out loud. And when you lose someone, it's so, and it does depend on like how close they are to,
yeah,
you, how much a part of your daily life they are.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid there are a child, a spouse or something like that, that is, you know, part of your existence. Like, your world gets topsy-turvy. None of it makes sense. And like from the day it happens, everything is different.
Yeah.
So being able to talk to somebody about it and have them say, that makes sense, makes you feel like you're not going crazy.
Right.
You feel like you're spinning a little bit. And just to be able to talk to somebody who gets it or who's like been there before is the best. And I think showing up with a casserole to somebody's house is saying, oh, I'm not going to run away from this for you. It is like, it's kind of weird how if you've lost a parent, you become good friends with people you might not have been good friends with because they have lost too.
They always say there's like
a club.
It's kind of a club.
Yeah.
And until that has happened, you just don't get it. And I feel like for my age and my life, I have been to way too many funerals. And I think that's just how my life has played out. But I think because of that, I recognize that grief is something very personal and it's something that everybody goes through in different ways. And sometimes different people can bring out different things. Like, I believe that like, for whatever reason, sometimes you're around somebody who just makes you feel really funny. And then there's people that make you feel like you have to be very like sort of serious.
Stoic and yeah.
And I think grief is kind of like that. Like whatever you need, you should get it from someone. And I don't think that other person knows exactly that they're going to be the component that might make you heal or might make you feel seen. So just give everybody fucking food. That's what I know.
Give them food.
Like, give them food. Give them a hug. Say very little and like have open dialogues
just
with your kids.
Sit with them and hold their hand and,
yeah,
and hug them. And
yeah.
Because people won't. Like you'll say, let me know if you need anything.
That's just doesn't cut it.
They'll
never let you know.
Tell you that they need something. And
that's the other thing. Like kids, it's so funny how kids perceive grief.
Yeah.
Because when there's a curiosity there, that'll get you in trouble with kids. Like they're curious about all the details and you're like, stop asking questions. But like, you yeah. know, they're like, did he cry? Did they
yeah.
cry?
Does it hurt?
Does it hurt? And I'm like, yeah, it fucking hurts. Yeah, they fucking cried. Like, shut up.
Yeah,
like,
and you also
drop off the casserole and get back in the van.
You also have to look a kid in the eye and be and say, I literally don't know and no one does. Like,
yeah.
I don't have a good answer for you yeah. for this, but this is what I think or like, this is what I believe. And one thing that I always like, it's okay to go to a funeral or go to a friend who's lost somebody and be awkward as shit and make them laugh because the thing I've retained most about grief is you can't out-happy it.
No.
While you are in grief, nothing's going to happen that's going to like, you're going to laugh enough to get out of it or it's going to be like a big enough event that you're going to like. That it changes it. You could win the lottery when you lost somebody.
Yeah. And
you
it
might be
matter.
Happy in that moment and you will cry the next because they're not there to share it with you.
Right.
So you always will come back to this, but it's nice to have times that don't feel so heavy where you're laughing because wouldn't they find this hilarious that this
yes.
happened at the funeral or that you
yeah.
did this or you forgot the this, you know, like. It's don't feel bad about that. Go be your awkward self. Just be a
exactly.
friend.
Exactly. Show up is the most important thing. Or
yeah.
There's a baby being born the same time you're I always think about that. Like somebody's worst day is somebody else's day that they're you know, seeing their baby for the first time or they're getting their degree or they're like the world, it isn't like lanes. It's
yeah.
all like, it's like a Venn diagram and we're all on it. And, you know, I just think grief is a really tough thing. And I think it's totally okay to swim in it and to live in it and to know that it is painful. And I think as players on the outside of that, like, we just have to do whatever we can do to make people feel better.
Well, if I've told this story before, listeners of the podcast, forgive me. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. But also, so when Dash was 2 or 3 weeks old, a friend of ours had a 6-month-old that passed from SIDS.
Oof.
So not only did we not sleep for quite a long time because of that, I thought like, if something happens to this baby, life is over for me.
Life is over.
Life is, as you know it, it is, but it's over. And
well,
then
it's the thing that we all fear the most that we just kind of don't say. And
yes.
It's the thing that makes us like
insane.
Literally cover our outlets and put everything on bouncy toys
weighing
and never
the
walk.
Stroller in case it gets God. Wet like fucking maniacs.
My brain was like, you're going to fall accidentally off of a cliff.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know. I don't even go near cliffs.
No.
I literally live in a freaking flat neighborhood.
Your brain is just like worst case scenarioing.
It's because you love so deeply.
Yes.
It is you doing it math is. About love.
Well, then.
Also postpartum.
Yeah.
Double,
those hormones
are
don't
really
help.
Kicking you in the
yeah, in the uterus, which yeah. already hurts.
Which already hurts. And you've got a C-section scar, your asshole has hemorrhoids. Nobody's doing great.
Well, 6 months later, she was pregnant. And I maybe had never cried that hard in life until that point. Tears of relief because I went, they didn't die. Like their life gets, they get to have joy later on still. Like, it's not over. Like, they had, she's still.
Of course.
That there's something, no matter if the worst thing happens, you can still have hope that life can be
joyful again. And happy. And I think the people, you know, the people that we've met along the way who've experienced kind of the biggest versions of loss that you can imagine as a mom have all said that there is joy again. Which is
it's
lovely.
Reassuring, yeah.
It is. And I think I really like the expression. I think it really comes from the Jewish faith, which is may their memory be a blessing. And it is interesting when you experience grief, for a while you resent that expression. Like I'm not
all
ready.
The expressions.
Yeah, all the expressions. Savior.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's in a better place or like, oh, he doesn't have to suffer. You're like, I don't fucking care. Like my life is altered because this person, even when people are like, you'll see him in heaven. I'm like, well, hopefully that's not for a while. So that means I got to deal without this person in my life for several years.
Yeah.
You know, I know those are all comforting thoughts, but I think may their memory be a blessing. It kind of hits me different because I'm like, oh, right. Because in the beginning, it feels really hard.
Yeah.
And then it becomes something that you cherish and you want to talk about, but not right away. And everybody has to come to those terms on their own. But
you laugh about the memory rather at always feeling like painful. Well, it's so funny because a friend of ours that lost her brother like way too young, she said it used to really like piss her off when people would say, I don't know how you do it. Like I wouldn't be able to. And what she would hear is, do you think I didn't love him as much
or
as
like,
you love your brother?
Yeah, that I was picked accurately. Like there's a lot of,
But then that being said, you know, don't worry about saying the right thing, too.
I know. There's no right thing. That's why I say drop off a lasagna and be done with it.
That's like, right. Cookies never hurt anybody.
Look, everybody needs their front porch swept and make sure that their tires are all full of air and put some gas in the car. And, you know.
Kristen can be doing all of that while I go into the house.
Yeah. You just see me on your Ring app and all I do is just maintain your lawn and like make sure that you've got food in the fridge. They're like, how'd she get in? Never mind. I know. Look, that lawn's not going to water itself. I'm just going to make sure you're taking care of yourself.
It is. I think if you get too in your head and, you know, kind of worried about your comfort level, it's harder to be good to somebody that needs it, you know? Because I think why like old Catholic aunts and moms are so good at it is they're like, they give no fucks. They're like,
they give no fucks.
I'm going to
they're
this.
They're like, it doesn't matter about what you're feeling. It matters that you show up for them, dummy.
Absolutely. And they're not like head to toe black. They come wearing an outfit they look good in.
Oh my God,
and they're like, they see people they haven't seen in years and they hug those people because they don't know when they're going to see them again and if they're going to see them again. And like, don't like lean into that part of life as being just a thing that we all have to deal with, you know?
I remember when I was in high school, I was in eighth grade. Again, I think in my little life, I've been at that party a few too many times, in my opinion, which we lost a car of teachers. They were in a terrible car accident and they died. And so that was just, it was so hard because it was a girl, she was older than us. She was in high school. It was her mom. And then there were a couple of teachers and my eighth grade history teacher, Phoebe McCullough, passed away there. It was just, it was a lot. It was very tragic. And so I remember like a friend of mine was like, I'm not going to the funeral because I can't handle it. And I remember thinking, that is not an option for me. Like Terry Hensley is like, you suck it up, my friend.
She's right.
And you show up and yeah. you hug them and you say you're sorry and we're going to go to the reception and you're going to pick up plates.
Yeah.
And you're going to like, I'm sorry if this is uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
Imagine the people that are suffering, you dummy.
Yeah.
Like she was like, get your ass in the cart. Not that I was trying to get out of it, but I did. I was like, well, I feel like it's going to be a lot. And she's like, it doesn't, you do the hard thing. You do the hard thing and you show up because yeah. someday you're going to be in their position and you're going to want them to show up. And it really is true. I really think that's something that I think you've always talked about this. Like you want to be one of those aunts at the funeral because
right.
they're mob bosses. Cause they're dealing with something that all of us sort of are afraid of. And they just go through the storm. There's no, everybody has somebody like this in their life where something like this happens. And they like, they're like, it's my fucking day. I'm putting on my beads. I've got my rosary.
Yeah.
I'm getting to it.
Yeah. Well, I remember
putting
there
the funeral potatoes on.
Hell yeah. You always keep some frozen shredded just in,
Yeah. You're like, where's the booze? Get the good stuff out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a bottle of scotch or a whiskey or something. Everybody's taking the edge off a little bit. If you're Irish, you do the wake inside of a pub, which makes me so proud,
I've never been to one of those.
The Irish funeral better than anybody. They don't F around. Now I'm talking like you're hardcore Irish. Like and I love it because the Irish also believe in like there's equal parts celebration and sadness that can come together in song or in prayer.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of like a reflection on like what it means to be without this person. I remember when your dad passed away, we talked about it a little bit, that there's this poem that they wrote. It's an Irish poem about how when someone you love dies, they're just in the room next to you.
Yeah.
And that like, for some reason, that imagery, because the Irish loved it, they really think about it a lot. They really know how to do it. But they have like the wake in the pub, the casket's in the pub, and everybody's singing songs.
Yeah.
And drinking whiskey. And there's something about that to me that feels right.
It was right. And you saying that gave me a lot of comfort. Like we talked about it in a video, and then Jenny Long found the whole poem sent it to
lovely.
Me. And she's somebody too that's good about like
she'd be great
leaning into, you know. And then God, like 6 months after my dad passed away, her dad died suddenly too. And so we kind of had this like
a club,
this new formed relationship or like bond. We were always good friends, but then we had this bond of that and being able to like, we will just like text each other on our dad's birthdays or like the day that they pass. Like they're just in our heads, you know, like, it's like seared into your memory, like forever.
Jen, don't have an emotional moment when there's a plane overhead during a podcast.
No, I wasn't having an emotional moment.
There's nothing I can't get you to we're talking feelings. Hot guys, wieners,
feelings
buttholes.
Suck. I was going to talk about how my, when I was in high school, just started high school, so maybe I was a freshman. A girl that we went to school with, and I'll say her name, Heather, died in a car accident. Mm. Like, and it was like tragic. She was way too young. We were like 13, 14,
whoa,
like young idiot kids. She wasn't a dear friend of mine. She was like somebody I shared lockers with, her best friend.
Right.
So
still,
she was always there, like waiting with her.
She's in your ether.
Like, yeah. So they had like a funeral wake, whatever. I think she was Catholic. Pretty sure she was Catholic, actually. Now I remember why. I remember that. And my dad said, hey, if you and your friends want to go, I'll drive you all. You know, like you guys have their parents write a note to get out of school and I'll take you all. And I go, Dad, I didn't know her that well. So I feel like, is it going to look like I'm just trying to get out of school or something?
Yeah, is it an attention grab? And that's fair. I think that's an okay thing to...
And he was
consider.
Like, he goes, do you have good memories about her? And I'm like, yeah, she was like the nicest person ever.
So then,
like, she had the prettiest hair. Like, and he's like, that's enough to go and like remember all of that. And and it's going to feel good for her parents to see like that
she was loved.
She was loved. Yeah. And so he brought us. And I remember he let the four of us like sit in a pew and then he like stood in the back or something like that. but they had communion, which I was not an expert in. And I was there with my friend Mike, I've talked about before.
She's high and has the munchies.
But no, no, Mike, the one who's, when I skipped school, I was ironing my hair. Yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you went with him and they did communion.
And we did communion. And it was the kind of communion where they put the wafer in your mouth and then they pour the wine into your mouth.
Yeah, that's always weird.
And I watched him go and I thought he was going to like it was too much or something, spit it all out. And I, because it was so uncomfortable, I was in front of like a church full of people. I was like, that's it. I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking laugh
in front of everybody needs to air out the balloon a little bit, you know?
That's what it was more than anything, was like, it was so sad.
Yeah,
it
you're like, God, I need to like break this up.
I still, like, I didn't know her that well, but I still have the program
in all of my stuff from high school. Those are very impactful moments. A young person goes.
And I was like, if he fucking makes me laugh when I go up to, I will, it was so horrifying. And then my dad like brought us to pizza and we just talked about it. And then like,
yeah, you're kind of going through the storm a little bit.
Yeah. It was good. I think it was also good for us, whether she was like, we were that close to her or not. Like everybody knew her. We all had gym class together to deal with that together and to like have that be our first like entree into like grown up understanding of death.
Yeah.
Cause you do when you're like a teenager or that age, like Delilah knows when things are sad and she thinks like, here's how it would feel for me. But we were thinking of like
the family.
Heather doesn't get to go to this dance. She doesn't get to drive a car, you know?
But that's like just looking at all of the angles and that's experiencing grief. That's on some level like experiencing loss because you do think about all of those things. Oh, she doesn't get to do this or how do her parents feel or what, you know, her dog's going to wonder where she is. Like it's all those things that like are just so crumbling. Here's what I will say about Catholic funerals. I'm really on the fence about this whole wake thing, and I've been like,
what is the difference?
I don't know. I think it's the darkness of Catholics.
We're looking at Trey. Because
well, there's a wake. It can be open casket or it can be closed casket.
Oh, yeah.
You do a wake. It's a prayer service. Basically, you do a rosary. I don't know.
The night before the funeral?
Yeah, I was always like, it's like a pregame situation. You go in and you view. Let's just pretend we're talking about an old aunt who had lived a fun life and is like 98 years old. Let's just say it's that for this conversation so we don't go too dark. Basically, you know, your aunt, my Aunt Mary Lou passed away. God bless her. She was super fun. I guarantee she was my aunt that had a kegerator in her garage drank, had wine that came in, what do you call them?
A box in the fridge. A handle, the big Ernest and Gallo one.
Ernest and Gallo. Mm-hmm. Like you almost couldn't call it wine.
Yeah, like old school gin jug kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. That you'd pop off the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she would tell me to go get the wine. And I was like, I can't carry it.
Legally, this isn't wine,
This is a keg of wine. And I think the wine people are pissed that we're calling Asti Spumante wine. Whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of.
Beloved woman. And she's the funeral aunt. So it was her funeral day. And so you go to the wake and like, it's very daunting to see them in the casket. And my thought is like, I swear to God, I just want to say right now, I better look better in it than I did out of it. I want all sorts of work.
Girl, I'm going to get all that Hollywood tape. And I will go in and second guess all of that work.
Because I will get the double chin. I want to be on my side.
Up a little bit. Yeah.
Or kind of like this.
Yeah.
Like I'm like posing for like a magazine or something. Like just move me around. No one cares. I don't want to be like laying there in a weird pillow. It does like kind of stay with you. And that's the only thing that I know Catholics, we do it, but I just feel weird about it. But then I feel weird that they're in the casket anyway.
I do think those viewings are really, they're kind of strange because we as animals, like,
it doesn't make sense. It's Uncanny Valley. You're like, what?
You know that is not them. You know it's like a picture of them almost.
That's what I'm saying. Your brain isn't putting together that this is the same person. But I don't love the way an urn feels either. I don't like any of it.
Well,
I heard you can get turned into a giant
diamond.
No,
you can't. If you get cremated, they can do this pressure thing. Because I thought,
I bet my carrots would be so low.
I tried to talk my grandma into doing that with my grandpa because she was like, loved bling. She loved jewelry. And I was like,
yeah,
you could do that. And like, you could, you know, have them on your finger or on your neck like all the time. Like,
yeah.
And she was like, no, because I want our, I was going to say grounds. Yeah, the coffee grounds to be mixed together, but the ashes to be mixed together. And so for her, she wanted to have like a nice service, and she had told my mom like she wanted the viewing, and then she wanted to be cremated. And this fine, fabulous woman was like, I want at that viewing, I want all my jewelry, I want all my blings, I want all my rings on.
Hilarious. I
want to be
her.
In a beautiful white silk nightgown. It was a white silk nightgown, okay. And then like a fancy robe on top of
love
it.
Her.
Like white.
Do your day.
She
do
looked
your
fantastic
day.
But it, and then she, the next day or whatever, she was cremated. But I loved that she did that. I didn't understand it then, but I was like, there's never been a more Mimi moment than that moment where she was like, look, I want to look good, and I want everybody to have to walk by
also
me and say,
she
man,
went
she
out
looked
the way,
good.
The way you went out was the personality she had when she
yeah,
was here.
Totally.
And that's the thing, man. I'm like, I read this really fun statistic that there are caskets you can get with your alma mater inside.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Nebraska made that company multimillionaires.
Oh boy.
Because everyone's getting their, like, you know, Herbie the Huskers right up above you. I love me some Nebraska and I love me some Cornhuskers, but I'm not getting the lining of my casket done in Nebraska red. It's not good for my skin tone. I want to do something like
the word tacky does come to mind.
I do have to say my mother, who, again, because we are Catholic and because she is 12 out of 13 and because we've done a lot of funerals, she enjoys talking about it. And has since I was little. And I didn't, because I didn't want to think about that with her.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they
yeah.
would go on a trip and she'd be like, all the information you need is in the death drawer. And it would be like, you know, I don't know.
How do I know which drawer that is? It has a post-it on it that says death drawer. Yeah.
And she would bring out this packet and she'd be like, if anything happens to us.
I know.
I'm like, Jesus. So then I started to make jokes. Like, it bothers me because, like, it's, you know, they're getting up there. It worries me. I worry about that stuff. But she'll be like, well, this is probably the last time I can lease a car. And I go,
oh,
well,
God.
Terry, I would like you to make sure that you don't leave that lease for me. I don't want the responsibility.
Then go low miles,
go
Terry.
Go low miles.
Save, like, yourself on the...
Maybe you should only lease it for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you're a smart ass. And what? I'm like, well, don't talk to me about your death, woman, because it's going to knock me out. Like, I'm not into it.
My mom's been saying that shit since she was like 38. I mean, she's
do
like,
not do that to my kids.
That hutch is going to be yours someday. And I'm like, relax.
I know.
Relax. Nobody needs your hutch, man.
I know.
Just stay healthy.
My mom says it about her
that way.
Jewelry. She's like, I want one of you. I want Megan to have a diamond and I want you to have a diamond. And I'm like, can I get the one on your left hand? It's bigger. And she's like, you know what? That's not appropriate. And I go, can I have it now? I mean, it's better that I have it now.
You want to see me, like, enjoy it, right?
Yeah, and she's like, you know what? I'm not going anywhere soon, anytime soon. And I'm like, good, then get your 3-year lease on your fucking car and stop making it sound like we're grounds
for... It's coming tomorrow, I know.
It's coming tomorrow. By the way, you're the most fit, spry 74-year-old. She's always... It's like the second...
74? I'm going to pick up new hobbies at 74.
That's Goldie Hawn, by the way.
So young. I know.
She is...
That's a young age.
But she has been talking about this, and now I'm doing the math. Since she was 28, 30.
It's
some
crazy.
Death talk has been part of my conversation forever. And I'm like, Terry, I don't want to, let's not plan
maybe
it right now.
Because she's so comfortable with the topic. She's good at, like, she's been to a lot of funerals, Catholic, you know, she's.
Do you want to know how comfortable she is?
Uh-oh.
In the death drawer, there is a tape. And that tape is to be played at her funeral.
Oh, God, is it?
And she is singing.
Wow. God love you, Terry, because you know what?
I go.
That actually gives me a really incredible idea.
Dark.
What if I made karaoke? It's like, we're going to start off with this MP3
of
me
doing. The
screen
is in the casket, and it's just like.
Just like a white winged dove.
May we do that. May we make it joyful. But I'm like. I am not playing you singing at your own funeral when
damn
you,
right
are
you are
not being funny.
Damn,
she's
right,
like,
you
it's
are.
My final wish. And I'm sure it's like, and he will raise you up on eagles. like so sad and weird. Like, no.
Yeah. Maybe it would be fun to like really fuck with your kids and be like, okay, I just have three very simple things that I want to have happen. Number one is I want Vince Neil to come and sing my favorite Motley Crue ballad. The second thing that I want is it all to be catered by Wolfgang Puck.
Yes, thank okay? you.
And then the third thing that I want is, I don't know, what else is impossible?
I know what you want.
What?
I know what you want because I saw this and I thought it was so awesome because it was like the weird aunt who passed away and she was really eccentric and she literally gave every single one of the girls at the funeral, which was a lot of them, nieces, sisters, whatever, rando would take something off. This is so Jen. We're in a meet and greet and she'll have this bracelet, whatever. And somebody will compliment her and Jen will go, well, you have it. You have it. And she'll give it away. All of them wore the jewelry that she had given them. And there was a lot. She was like, I don't know. She like big turquoise pieces and like they all wore it to her funeral. And I was like, that's a very Jen thing.
I think you could probably also, this might be the most over the top thing and it would be hard to pull off, but you would insist upon it and your kids would have to figure it out so that like you think it's going to be closed casket and then they go to open it to show how like incredible you look. And it's like a glitter bomb
that
like
fun.
Goes off. Forever.
And it leaves everyone covered in glitter. And so then they're like, you were at a funeral, not
and
a
then,
script
like,
strip.
Disco
club, right?
lights start and
yeah.
stuff. And,
there was yeah. a really ornery Irishman who, this is so twisted, but they all were laughing, so it's okay. And he was elderly and ornery at the in where they bury you, which is always the roughest part of funeraling, is when you go to the actual
yeah.
when you do the parade or the geez.
It and just you, likes to start raining.
Oh then. God. It always rains and it always it's like weird because it's beautiful flowers and it's sad. And his last request was that they played it over this like boom box in the background and he's like, hey, let me out of here. Hey you guys. And like it was so twisted, but they were all giggling and laughing by the end. And I was like, there you go, man. There you go. Well, I think we managed to bring funerals about to not quite such a, I hope it's not too, I don't want it to like make people feel bad, but I hope everybody that's feeling that right now is knows that we love you and
yeah.
we know it's not easy.
Well, you're going to feel bad no matter what.
Yeah, you're going to
like
feel
I
bad
said,
no matter
so,
what.
At least we haven't gone like, you feel bad, you pussy.
Yeah, aww. You feel bad.
Yeah.
You know what you should do. You know what really helps with grief? Working out.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, God. You know what? Hit the gym. You know what?
Hit the
what?
Gym.
I felt
that'll really,
really
good get
when
you
I,
back yeah. to where you're
oh,
supposed
my God.
To be.
I feel like somebody's going to say that I'm a horrible human for saying this, but I can't tell you how. So my entire family is military.
Yeah.
So I cannot tell you how many times I have been to a funeral where they couldn't get the live, like, military band to play taps. And God bless some dude who shows up in, like, his old Cutlass.
I haven't brought this out since 77.
It brings the oldest boombox you have ever seen.
Oh, no.
And plays the, you know, tap somewhere from the middle at, like, the wrong volume. I mean, talk about, like, needing a little bit of comic relief at,
yeah.
like... I mean,
you're looking for anything. Listen, comedy and tragedy.
That balloon's going to pop.
They're not on
very
separate
easily.
Sides of the room.
No, they're
back to back.
That's right.
And we dip in and out of that. And that's the only way we can survive is if you know if this is the saddest moment, this will too also provide probably a lighter moment and just wait. Just
well,
wait for it.
God
it's
bless my Aunt Toots at her brother-in-law Earl Dean's funeral showing up in a red polka dot dress and she had a white sweatband and sweat cuffs on.
And we all
it was fucking hot.
Are grateful for Aunt Toots because without Aunt Toots, it's just too fucking sad.
She was literally like, it's hot. Let's wrap it up. Go get some coleslaw and chicken. Go. Somebody's Three Seasons room's got to be set up for this.
Three Seasons room.
Right? That's the only place you got room for
oh,
it,
man.
Right?
Or it's the Catholic, what do you call it, where you go do coffee and rolls, where you go
oh,
have
yeah.
the
oh,
not the mess it, hall, the, what do you call
the,
it?
In the mezzanine or the, yeah.
The, everybody,
yeah.
I'm like, I've been to this one a bunch. I know where all the...
Can we turn the AC on today? Couldn't
yeah.
we?
Couldn't
everybody's
we,
got
guys,
a suit
I
on.
I know what I gave nice. In the coffer. Let's put up the AC a bit.
I have a mom
okay,
box.
Okay, let's do a mom
okay.
box.
Okay. All right. I love this gal, Jennifer Schalk. Jennifer. I love a Jenny S.
God, the 70s loved the Jets.
Yeah, number one name for like 3 years.
Also, I want to know where it comes from. Sorry, sidebar. It's just so popular. Like, where the... Guinevere, the only other name I know that is as popular as the name Jen is Mary. And we know that's biblical.
Jennifer, that's literally... Sure ain't.
It just seems like Jennifer is like somebody was in a band.
It does. It has like one of those old, I read like the old Latin beginning of it. Like Guinevere is an offshoot of it. Like Genevieve is a Jennifer.
Okay.
Like they all come from the same.
There's iterations.
Yeah. And it is.
Boy, the 70s were like, let's land on Jennifer.
Yeah.
I knew a Jennifer. That never went well.
Oh yeah. That's like, just your a Jennifer and you
somebody
just
misspelled the birth certificate. Yeah,
I get that. Okay. But a Jenny asks, okay, hello, ladies. I've been watching your videos since the first. The moment Jen forgot Delilah's name, I felt understood. I am a busy mom with 2 jobs, 2 kiddos, 8 and 2. I know, a COVID baby. Ooh. I'm a Girl Scout leader. I volunteer for our PTO. I also help with parties for my daughter's dance team. And my husband is in the military.
Good
girl.
God.
Doing
good
it all.
Snaps to you. Cheers.
The first time he was gone for an extended period of time after we became parents, I took her daughter trick-or-treating at my in-laws and left wishing them a happy 4th of July. Girl.
That feels right.
I bought tickets the first time you came to Spokane. At the time, I wasn't pregnant or even planning baby number 2, and he was 1 by the time I finally got to see you.
Oh my gosh.
I've only recently started listening to your podcast. See, this is why I'm saying I only recently started listening to your podcast while at my side gig job, and I just love you both. I can't believe it took me so long to jump on the podcast. In fact, my husband's extended family is in Nebraska, and listening to you made me want to go there.
Wait.
We have now planned our summer vacation to visit his family in Nebraska. Any must-dos?
Oh my God, so many.
Okay, so we'll message you back, girl, but maybe we can even do a podcast about what you have to do when you're in Nebraska.
There's a lot of fun things. The marketing is, it's not for everybody, which makes me laugh so hard.
I could talk for 20 minutes about the zoo, but that's a whole...
Me too.
I can also tell you the best restaurants.
The Henry Dooley Zoo in Omaha is one of the best zoos in the world. Don't get me started.
Okay. And now I know you have a busy summer, but any chance you will have a show there the second week in July?
No, not then.
We're not. Okay. My dream would be to see you in your home state.
We will
be driving from Idaho, right outside of Spokane, to Lincoln and then Omaha and then back. So pray for my sanity. My 2 lifelong besties have yet to become mommies, so sometimes this mommy gig feels extra lonely.
Mm.
Thank you for letting me be your bestie you didn't know existed. Listening to you makes working an extra 4 hours a week to pay for my daughter's dance lessons enjoyable. Thank you, ladies. Love you, Jenny.
We love you. And have fun in Nebraska. Girl, there are fun things to do. And the best thing to do is...
If we're anywhere near Spokane, let us know. Go look at the list and you can have tickets.
I've got to look on our... Yeah. By the way, we are doing a live show. We do a two-person stand-up show. So go to imomsohard.com for tickets.
See if there's someplace near you.
Forgetting to say that.
Yeah. So please come. And also, God love you.
I know the military moms out there that have dealt with like their husbands being gone for a year on some level, envy. But
single parenting.
It's tough.
Plus, you know,
and I think everyone thinks just like what we were talking about, like you can just handle it. But maybe if you do know a military mom, instead of being like, is there anything I can do? Or just let me know.
Just show up.
Show up.
Show up with cookies.
Show up with a lasagna.
Food. Yeah.
Show up with fresh cookies. Show up with old cookies. She doesn't care.
And also, she's like not just single parenting. She's worried. She's got the weight of the world worried about her spouse.
Yes.
And
thank you for your service.
Everybody. I know.
Yeah. I think we podcasted,
think
you guys.
We podcasted.
Yay.
Oh, I need my readers.
Is it
Give
2
me your
in
readers.
The morning?
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it's not. I don't think it's not. It's 8:14.
Oh my God. Well, Yanni McGillicuddy over here, I didn't know what we were doing.
Oh, I know. What he's
I know. Bullshit. You think I'm not around a yawner? He does this. He goes like this. My husband tries not to yawn, and then he
goes through his nose.
And he goes through his nose and starts literally his eyeballs water. Like he goes. Come on, Trey, man. We're married. We know all the signals.